got her feet washed.
Oh, my God. My God.
Listen, I washed them bad boys, and then I went on confident.
You probably took off your shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
Pastor, you know, sir, you think she had her toenail stained?
She probably did.
Nope. Not yet.
Not yet?
She didn't have them painted back, girl.
No open-toed shoes yet. Nope.
No open-toed shoes.
She ain't trying to get pneumonia in that pinky toe.
You got that right. Sneakers.
I know that's right. Something comfortable.
Well, at least she thought about the washer. She thought about the foot washer, Pastor Jordan. That was a good thing. She was conscientious about the person who was holding the feet in their hands. What is it?
I don't think that's a job I could do.
You couldn't do that job.
I don't think I could do that job.
The funniness of it, though, I went to the dentist the other day, and I'm to get the teeth worked on. And prior, I'm in the bathroom getting ready, and it came to my mind. I said, I wonder how many people go to the dentist knowing where you're going and don't brush the teeth before they get there.
That's interesting.
I brushed my teeth and then I gargled. Okay, I brushed them and then I gargled. But I'm like, I wonder. And I wanted to ask the dentist, but I said, no, I'm not gonna ask this question.
I'm sure you would have gotten some horror stories for real.
Yeah. That's what I was like. At the foot washer, you just would think, you know, a person's gonna make sure everything is all done up, get the pedicure and all of those things. Make sure cut the toenails, Vaseline the feet all up, and make sure everything is good or low, so whatever you choose to use.
But then, you know, there's got to be some people who's like, well, I'm going to get my foot washed, so ain't no sense in washing them.
They looking for that warm water.
Right?
A free massage.
What's the sense of washing them if I'm going to get them washed anyway?
Right, right. That's what they treat.
Well, this show is called The Conversation, for those of you who are wondering why we're talking about what we're talking about. You know, you'd really be surprised how many people, what attitude they have about certain things, you know. Just like the scripture says, it wasn't too late for the thief on the cross, even though he waited to the last minute. Some of us now, we still have people who wait to the last minute to do so many things.
That's right.
Yeah. Isn't that annoying? That's so annoying. God knows it's annoying.
Especially when you go into the doctor and they warn you.
Yeah. I was watching it. It's amazing. And we do it in so many different ways, you know. You have to go to work and you have to be there at 9 and you don't get out to bed until the last minute. You press the snooze button 5 or 6 times, you know. The children 5, you start cooking dinner at 4:30. You know, so many things that you – or this is the one that really gets me. If a person calls you and asks you for a ride, you think the least they could do is be ready when you get there. Like, you know, be downstairs at the door or be ready to, you know, I'm on my way and you're waiting in front of the house and they're just getting ready to put their shoes on, but you knew I was coming. It's so many things that we do at the very last moment that we can really prepare ourselves way ahead of time.
Well, you know, we just need to come against that spirit of procrastination. Yeah, because that's what it is. It's procrastination. They know doggone well that they're supposed to be where they're supposed to be at the right time or early, you know. It's like I never could understand how ushers could come in late.
I heard that, I heard Bishop Jakes preach this, and I thought it was amazing. He said, some people know they late, and they still come in late. He said, well, you know you have to go to work, and you're late for work. You get out of your car, you run all the way to the door, you run up the stairs, you run to your station. He says, but some people, when they late for church, they'll get out the car and walk real slow to the door, get inside the church, walk slow to their seat. There's no hurry. There's no hurry to come into the church house, but when they late for other places, they run top speed.
Money.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
That's money. It's a profit, and many things that you're late for because it doesn't profit you. All my daughters are late. Every one of them is always late. And guess where they get it from? Me.
Well, tell the truth. Shame the devil.
Yeah, they get it honestly. My kids will be late for a plane. They'll be late. One was late for a funeral, and she was still in the bed.
Lord Jesus. I'm still trying to figure out how. I'm still trying to figure out how you can be an usher and come an hour late.
And be late.
You don't.
Because we're not time conscious. I hate being late.
Now you wait a minute, and come in uniform, right? And stand at their post, and everybody already seated. What you ushering now?
Or a musician that comes in. Oh, I hate that. I hate it when a musician comes in late and then they want full payment.
Now they done sang all the songs.
Oh, they can't stay till the end.
Wait a minute. They done sang all the songs. Now you want to walk in, hit the preacher.
For a moment, if we can, do you know how bad it is and how worrisome it is to be late, though? How bad it looks for you to be late. And I want to try to use this example, and I'm sure men and ladies, we all can relate to it because it have an impact on male and female.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a phone call and a young lady, your wife, girlfriend, your boo is on the other end of the phone saying, I'm late. Ladies, you know how it is for a certain time of the season for you to be late monthly. It's a worrisome thing. Because then you'd be, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And then you call him and say, oh, guess what? I'm late.
Oh, they ain't receiving that.
You count the seconds until you're not late anymore.
No, you ain't gonna receive that too well.
You said it again. She's not going to receive it well. Am I wrong, Pastor Gerald, Pastor Weatherly?
With Pastor Gerald.
Yeah. If your daughter came up to you and said, Ma, I'm late. see how quiet it is, radio audience? That's the whole point of how it looks when you're late for church, you're late for school, you're late for work. It's not even a good thing. Just the word late itself. Just late, because we have that that saying, oh, he might not come when you want him to, but he's always right on time. He's never late. That's how bad it is to be late.
Oh, it's horrible to be late now. It's horrible to be late.
Especially if you're a woman and it's that season for you and you're late. Mm. And every time you go to the bathroom, you're looking because you're late.
Late.
And then that man is calling you on a regular basis and said, Did it come yet?
No, baby. I'm late.
Come on up. Chime in, Pastor Gerald. Pastor Wesley, come on. I know you know more about this than me. Pastor Young,
well,
they don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
They don't want to be talking about being late now. They ain't gonna receive
because
they
that. They save and sanctify the Holy Ghost filled, and they can't join in on this conversation.
No,
maybe at the house, but not on the radio.
But yeah, because they're late.
You could be married and late.
Oh, Jesus.
Motherly, you could be married in late. You wanted a job, but not this week.
I remember a young man, he was late for his wedding, and he was coming up the driveway, and I was, and I had gone to do something, came back. I said, if you want me to, I'll put you on an airplane, and you can leave.
Because
I knew the marriage wasn't a good marriage, and he come walking in late. I mean, they all sitting there waiting for him. And I said, I'll put you in my car, take you to the airport, and you can leave.
Wow.
If you that late for, you know, usually the bride is for
something, doesn't it?
No, wow.
And it didn't last.
Wait a minute. Now, we had a wedding years ago, and the flowers came late.
Oh.
Matter of fact, the flowers came 2 hours late. And so the bride sat out in the car and made her husband wait until those late flowers came because she was not going to get married without her flowers.
That's interesting.
What's even more interesting, Pastor Weatherly, tomorrow is Resurrection Sunday.
Yes, it is.
And okay. I remember back when we were young. I'm not sure, Pastor Young, I'm pretty sure you can help me out with this one. Was it James Cleveland who used to sing that song, Don't Let It Be Late, Won't It Be Sad, It's Too Late? The point I'm making, imagine tomorrow being Resurrection Sunday, and it's too late for you because you lived your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You lived your whole life as in the days of Noah. You were eating and drinking and being merry.
Mm.
You were eating, you were drinking, and you were very merry. And then it's your time to go away. Because Pastor Young, you oftentimes said, you will wake up somewhere.
You're going to wake up somewhere.
You're going to wake up somewhere. Somewhere. If your heart stops beating, you will still wake up. Either you're going to wake up and lift up your eyes according to the scriptures in heaven, or you're going to open your eyes and open them up in Hades, in hell.
But you're still going to wake up somewhere.
But imagine if it's too late. Because the book of Romans says, as long as there's life, there's hope.
You know,
when there is no longer life breathing in your body, it's too late.
You know, and it's sad because, you know, we watch a lot of older people, you know, we watch a lot of older people and they go, you know, and they go peacefully, but they always say, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. But then you have a lot of younger people who are living reckless lives and they just don't know. They just, you don't know. You wake up one morning and next thing you know, you shot. You know, or you wake up one morning thinking it's a good day, you in a car accident. You wake up, you think it's going to be a good day, and, you know, something tragic happens. And you don't know. You really don't. No man knows the day nor the hour when you're going to leave here.
That's right.
And, you know, can we say that we are ready?
Everybody's timing is off. And really, timing is based on your decision, whether you're going to get up, go to work, on time to go to church. It's a decision factor that's been ignored.
Yes, ma'am.
It's if you're late, it's because you've decided it's okay to be late. And many people are off their schedule of life. Many people that are teenagers are now pregnant. They have that's being too early.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to go to school when you got three kids from different daddy. You're the only one taking care of. And now you want to go to school when you're in your 20s, when that you should be doing as a single person.
Because your timing is off. Because your timing is off.
People are late in every season of their life. So when it comes to the end, it's because you made bad choices.
I remember, Pastor Weatherly, you mentioned it before on a prior show where you were talking about when you're working at the college and you have people sitting in front of you, sitting at the college, and they would like to take all of these courses and they have to pay for them. And they didn't prepare themselves in high school for college.
Nope.
And now they find themselves paying to take courses in college that they could have took in high school for free, because they didn't prepare themselves for the future.
Right, and because of that, they have to take prereqs, like basic math, and spend money on that before they can take college classes. And that's more money they have to shell out.
But we could prepare ourselves now for eternal life.
Yeah.
We could prepare ourselves right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the crazy part, using the example of being late when a woman's monthly situation is late, and then she's looking and constantly looking, she calls a man and says, hey, guess what, I'm late, and you're constantly looking for something that should have naturally taken place because you were doing things that you didn't be safeguard yourself or doing things that in some situations you shouldn't have been doing anyway. And now
so are you suggesting that lateness is sin?
I'm suggesting in particular in certain situations.
Wait a minute now. Because being late is costly.
But the scripture tells us not to be slothful.
If you pay certain bills late, there's a penalty for it. So,
a major penalty.
You know,
you got to pay the regular fee and then the late fee.
And the late fee. And you know what's crazy about the late fee is if you didn't have the money to pay it on time, what made them think that you? What made them think that you go have the extra money to pay it late?
Exactly. You mean what they call overdraft fees?
In between overdraft,
$200, and now they're going to charge you $35. Listen, they're going to charge you $35 overdraft fee, and some banks every 10 days they'll charge you another fee that you're late on top of the every 10 days it's going to go up.
Because you what? Late.
Because you're late. But see, listen, and to answer the question, yeah, in some situations being late is sinful. Because imagine this. Imagine the Lord tells you, I gave you time and chance and opportunity and opportunity and opportunity, and you didn't take advantage of it. Mm. Now that your heart has stopped beating, it is too late.
And so now he repossesses it. So now he repossesses. Because you late.
And a person who doesn't, when they see the gas tank empty, and they ignore the time for it, and they go ahead and park their car, and they blame the car for not having gas in it because he decides that it's too late. You know, he waited too late.
I waited too
to
late.
Fill the gas tank up. So it's the car's fault, and he kills the car because of his lateness.
Yes, I sure did. I sure did. I am so guilty.
Did you learn anything from the situation? Because our trials only come to make us stronger.
Did I learn anything? Yeah, I learned. I learned to put some gas in the car.
Okay. You're not going to duplicate that and do it again?
No, I don't think I've done that. I don't think I've done that. No. If the car run out of gas, it's not the car's fault. It's my fault. But I was mad at the car because the car shouldn't have cut off.
I might not be, as they say, the brightest apple on the tree. But I do try to learn from my mistakes. And I'm just curious, you know.
Yeah.
They have. I might Pastor Weatherly. I might write a letter out to the General Motors people who make the cars, and I might tell them they should put some type of indication device in the car to let you know when the fuel is getting low.
Oh, wait a minute. You know, it'd be nice, you know, to have warning lights. You know, but life does not have warning lights. You know, if it does give you a warning, if you don't heed to the warning, then what good is it?
Right. Because we ignore all the signs all the time.
I mean, how many people drive with a check engine light on forever?
Yes.
Until such time that either they need an inspection, or then it's too late, or even worse, the car conks out, which is too late.
But I think God does give us warning lights during life when we're at the red light and our light turns green, and somebody runs that red light, but we sat there for some particular reason. I think that was a warning light.
Ooh, I had an experience with that.
I think that's God giving us a warning light. And that's why I oftentimes tell people, when the light turns green, they say, the light's green, go ahead. And I said, no, I'm going to take my time, because sometimes people run red lights.
Oh, yeah, they
that's
do.
That's true.
Sometimes what we do, we let other people influence us to do things when God's telling us to slow down and use caution.
Yeah.
We listen to people sometimes instead of listening to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit could tell us not to do something, and everybody else around us is saying, go ahead and do it.
Mm.
And God is trying to warn us and say, no, I don't think that's the best thing for you to do. Stay home. Don't go.
Well, he ain't trying. He's warning. We just not late. He ain't trying nothing. He's warning us. Period.
I think some of those warning lights be, it could be the preacher on Sunday morning is preaching a message, and you've been going through something during the week, and God gives you the answer to your prayer. That's one of those warning lights.
Mm.
I think God does give us warning lights.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
You need an answer that's in a service, and you decide not to go. The
right.
warning is there, and you missed out on the warning sign.
Right.
Well, most of the time, we look at that as being, oh, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. And when the Lord is speaking directly to you and letting you know, and you know that within your spirit, but you try to put it off and ignore it, and you say, that's for somebody else. That's not for me.
Well, I mean, you know, the gauge was on E.
Sometimes we'll utilize our faith in areas where our faith shouldn't be utilized. We should use the good common sense that God gives us. How many times when we were in the world that we were getting ready to do something we had no business doing, and we were praying, God, let me not get caught. We trusting God to deliver us from a situation that we know is wrong, but yet we're going to do it anyway, and then we're going to pray and ask God to keep us while we're in the midst of our wrong.
Oh, that sounds that sounds like obstruction.
And pray and ask God, let me not get caught.
You know, that sounds like Donald Trump. Isn't that obstruction of justice? Isn't that obstruction of justice?
But for real, but you know, it's how many people have sex and pray, and God, let me. Hey, I had a son of mine. I had a child of mine on a Sunday morning during altar call. Said, Dad, pray. And I'm praying, and he says, because I'm, you know, anybody have a special prayer? And he whispers, yeah, Dad, pray for me. And I whisper back in his ear, what do you want me to pray? He says, I want you to pray that she's not pregnant. I did what I did, and I didn't use any protection. I want you to pray that she's not pregnant.
Well, so now you want God to God to be an abortion doctor.
But I'm sure he's not the only one who has that mindset.
But come on now. You know, so now all of a sudden you want God to be an abortionist.
Sure, I have one that asked, told me recently, he asked God for his permission to go ahead and sell drugs so he could get a car.
He could do what?
So you can get a car.
Lord Jesus.
He asked God's permission. Please, Lord, bless me. You know, I have your permission because I want this car. So I want to sell drugs.
The Bible says that Jesus is on the cross. And he begins to pray and says, Father, forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. They think they're doing the right thing. They think they're doing the right thing, but he says, forgive them, for they know not. They don't even know what they're doing.
They crazy.
Yeah, but why bring God into it?
Daddy, they crazy.
Why bring God into it?
That's lukewarmness.
There's a way that seems right to man. It seems like the right thing to do. Why? Because the Bible says, if I acknowledge God in all of my ways, he'll direct my path. And we try to acknowledge God in our ways.
In our ways. You don't go to school. You don't know how to. You ruin school. You were out there doing drugs and everything like that. And now you want God's permission for you because you messed up your life.
But see, what we don't do is count up the cost. there are consequences to all of your actions, you know, whatever you're doing, good or bad, there's consequences, and we don't look at that. We don't want to see that, you know, so we put that off and we just do it anyway, you know, on the spur of the moment or spontaneously. We just want to do it anyway and then let the chips fall where they may, but we don't realize that the other people that's being involved with the decisions that we make.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. And that's why you need to take the time to count up the cost and see what you're doing. Is this going, how is this going to affect other people? How is it going to affect my family? And then how is it going to affect me?
Yeah.
That gives new meaning. That gives new meaning to love your neighbor as yourself. That gives real new meaning, because a lot of the things that we, you know, the decisions that we make do affect other people. It's not just about you. And so you can't be selfish, you know, and think it's all about you when it does impact everyone around you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We talked about it last week, Pastor Weatherly and Pastor George were absent. Me and Pastor Young talked about strong women. And we talked about, we used as an example. And yes, you two ladies were absent last week, but we did talk about how much we love you, how much you mean to us. So, Pastor Gerald's laughing. You're laughing, Pastor Young. I mean, what's funny about people acknowledge? Listen.
Now, you remember the last time.
Of how?
You remember the last time we were complimenting Pastor Weatherly, and she went off on the deep end. And, you know,
don't so, bring me into this.
So,
Nick.
So now, so mix. So today, so today.
We were talking about the gas tank, but now we can't talk about her.
Yeah, I tell me about it. And so now today is Pastor Gerald. Today is Pastor Gerald giggling over there.
The point we're trying to make is that we talking about how God bless Mary, and the angel comes to Mary and tells her she's going to have a child, and it had a devastating effect on their whole family, on the whole family. Joseph,
right?
Jesus got brothers who didn't believe he was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Mary's having the sisters, the daughters follow her around. Jesus' ministry's knocking at the door. Jesus is at the door. Jesus responds. Seemed kind of cold to me. He says, who is my mother? Who is my sister? The Bible says that the book of Job, chapter 1, that Satan and God is talking about Job. And not only did it affect Job and his wife and his children, it affected servants' lives as well. Could you imagine the effect Job losing his possessions had on the community from the people who purchased goods from Job?
Yep.
Because of the livestock and the cattle that he had.
Right.
You know, it affects you when Walmart closes and Tops closes and your corner store closes. It has an effect on you because this is in walking distance to your house for the grocery needs that you need for your home. These things all have an effect on you. When your church closed, now you got to find a new one to go to because something happened, the pastor passed away, or anything happens. These things have effects, and to hesitate and to not be about your father's business, or even more, as Jesus said, Father, they don't even know what they're doing. They have no clue of what they're doing. They have no clue of their actions. They think they're doing the right thing. How many times people have did things and thought they were doing what was right, and they were 100% wrong? How many times somebody might have said something about you, Pastor Weatherly, swore up and down they was right when it was 100% wrong? We go through this kind of stuff on a regular basis.
Oh yeah. And again, it comes down to, you know, being selfless by looking at all perspectives of a situation before making, you know, final decisions. Because, you know, once the decision is made, then the consequences are going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
And whether good or bad, you know, because we can't look at consequences always as bad. There are good consequences, but, you know, to the most part, you know, we don't think about the you know, when it's good, we think about it. When it's bad, I got a strange feeling we don't.
Man, when good stuff happens, sometimes we, man, I'm so glad that happened. We act like we almost deserve it. I've been working real hard, man. I've been bearing down, man. I've been studying. I've been going all above and beyond. I didn't go out all the time. Like, you know, I don't know, we pat ourselves on the back.
Of course. We're proud of ourselves.
But when something bad happens, we wonder why me.
Well, you know why you, because you made the decision.
But also the fact is that's trying to ignore life. Life is up and down. And you got to stay straight, steady.
Yeah. Don't we talk
you
about
have
that?
To. That's unreality when thinking that you don't think that things are going to happen to you just because you've done right. That's not reality.
No.
Jesus Christ did right, and still.
Hey.
His prophets did right, but still.
I need to challenge you on that. You mean to tell me Jesus Christ, Son of God, who prior to coming down here was walking the streets of gold, when he came here, he didn't have it smooth all of the time?
No.
No, not at all.
Man, that dude got in more trouble than law.
That's all right. Religion hated him. Religion hated him.
Every time he turned around, he was in trouble.
He was always in trouble. He was in trouble with his mom and dad when he went to the temple without their permission.
I mean, the only thing he did was go to church. He got in trouble.
He got in trouble.
Wait a minute. He got up to read his scripture and got in trouble.
It got in trouble.
But he said in his word, in this world you shall have tribulation. It's not over the trials and things that you go through.
So Lazarus was brought back from the dead, and he got in trouble. So they wanted to kill him.
So,
wow.
You mean to tell me all this trouble that happened to Jesus, it wasn't because he did something wrong?
No, he didn't. Matter of fact, he was sinless, but unfortunately, sinful people have the tendency to look at your good as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers you. And you just got to be honest. It does bother you. And you sometimes, you know, you just get to the point where you just had enough of it. It's just nonsense and foolishness. And I've been thinking on this analogy. You know, there's a lot of people who, you know, want the things that you have, and they want but they don't want you. You see what I'm saying? They want to play with your toys, but they don't want you to play with them.
I heard. Pastor Joe preached a sermon last week. I thought it was most effective, most effective. And she had said a few lines in the sermon. I hope you don't mind me quoting your sermon, Pastor Joe. She said,
go ahead and plagiarize. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll plagiarize. She talked about how you need to sometimes beware. She talked about how Judas betrayed Christ.
Yeah.
How sometimes you got to beware of people patting you on the back and hugging you and kissing all over you. Because before you even, she said, not when you turn around. She said, you could turn halfway around and they stab you in the back. you ain't even turned all the way around yet.
Yes, that's true.
You know,
and it's amazing.
And you just hang up the phone and you call right back, they're on the line.
That's it.
And the question I'm asking then, if Jesus did all of these things and he did all of this good, and you say he did no wrong and yet these things happened, then why do we, in the years in which we live in, when things happen to people, we say they must have did something wrong?
Oh, because we equate bad behavior with bad results, and sometimes that is not the case. You know, you can do good, and still something can go wrong. You know, there are a lot of individuals who plan out, you know, say for instance, you know, Pastor Weatherly could probably attest to this, you know, because you're a playwriter. And so you guys practice and practice and practice the play, get everything almost down pat. But the day of the performance, it seems like all chaos breaks loose.
Yeah.
You know, actors forget their lines, or people show up late, or people cancel at the last minute. Now, she did everything right. But again, on the day of the performance, something goes wrong.
I've attested to that.
So sometimes even good people might make a mistake.
Oh, people with good intentions, yeah.
But if you're serving God and you expect everything to be right, then you're being selfish. You're only serving him because there's a hedge of protection around him, just like Job.
So what happens if I take that hedge of protection off of you? Now what?
But are you going to serve me? Are you going to stick with me? Are you going to leave me because of it? We only connect God with happiness. We even say when they get saved, everything's going to be all right. No. We were raised with that. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay now.
I listened to the preacher preach last week. He says that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. He said the reason he said, Father, thy will be done, because he wanted to face what God had for him head on. And sometimes we as saints, we don't want to face what God has in store for us head on. We always want to face the blessings head on. Don't hold them back. God, give me a double portion. We will face the double portion head on. We will skip to the front of the line and say that God has given us favor. And then sometimes unlimited favor. But we don't want to face it when we don't get to skip to the front of the line, when we have to go to the back of the line.
But I think sometimes that's because of it's uncharted territory. We haven't been there. There's a fear. There's a doubt there. And when we say that we trust God, in reality, when it boils down to it, do you really? Do you really accept him at his word that he's going to lead you and guide you through the shadows of death? You know, we say, oh, we just got all trust, you know, in him. But when we're tried, then that really shows us where our faith is.
Yeah.
Because of that fear and because of that doubt and, like I said, because of that uncharted territory, we get shaky in our faith. And we're trembling in our boots when the Lord say, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Just come on. I know where you're going. I'm here with you. But instead of us doing that, we shriek back. And, you know, I'd rather stay in my comfort zone because I know what's going to happen during that time. But when you take me out of that comfort zone, then I don't know what's going to happen. So, therefore, my faith is being shaken. It's being doubtful. And that shouldn't be when we say we trust in the Lord with all our heart, you know.
Can you imagine?
In reality, we don't.
Can you imagine that the blind man, and now he don't know Jesus from Adam's house cat, right? Jesus,
right.
It takes here's this stranger leading this blind man out of the city. And then, to make matters worse, after he gets him out of the city, which is his comfort zone, right? The man the man spits in his face and throws dirt at him. And then tell him. And then tell him, go wash. Now, go wash where?
Right. And another thing is that the disciples were told to go forth and preach the gospel, but then warned them how they to go out there, because James is going to get his head cut off. They're going to suffer. John's going to be going over to an island of Patmos with enemies. Then if they had not that courage and that boldness,
They would have failed in those suffering times. The things they went through, one got boiled in oil.
My God. My
then
God.
Then that means that God is a liar. He's lying when he says everything's done. But he never told them that.
Where's your God at now? When they're putting you down in the oil and they're mocking you.
What
did they say to Jesus? You saved other people. You're on this cross now, save yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
And Thomas said he was speared to death. Come on.
We're celebrating the resurrection tomorrow. But, you know, to be raised from the dead means you got to die.
Yeah.
In order to be raised from the dead,
you
got
to
die.
All right.
And how many of us want to die, is willing to die? We love God. We want to have eternal life, but don't nobody want to die.
If you would have been here, if you would
have
been here,
if you say I don't mind dying, that means people are gonna call you suicidal. They're gonna say something wrong with you. They're gonna say you need to take them to the doctor. Somebody needs to talk to them. But I thought that's why we serve God. I thought that's why we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we could be saved. And knowing that we're saved, because Ecclesiastes says it's time for man to be born. And it's a time to die. The only way we can get to heaven, except for a few people, they descended. Enoch and Jesus Christ, if I'm not mistaken, are the only ones who ascended into heaven who did not die. Everybody else want to go to heaven.
Mm.
We got resuscitate on our death papers, and some people put do not resuscitate because I want to go. But if you went around and asked people if you can go to heaven today,
let's go.
Today,
let's go.
Would you go?
Let's go.
There's so many people who say, nah, because what did the man say? Yeah, Jesus, I follow you, but can I go bury my people first? Can I go tell my kids goodbye? Can I go tell my wife goodbye? Can I go buy my kids a house first? That way I can make sure they're taken care of and they are right before I die. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Make any sense? Ask some people. Because like I said, in order to be raised from the dead, you got to die. And some people, when we die, we don't die instantly. We suffer first a little while before we die. Because Jesus Christ did some serious suffering.
Yeah, he did.
Before he gave up the ghost. And most of us do not want to do, we don't want to do Tylenol suffering.
Man.
Better known some opiate medication suffering. We don't want to do Advil or aspirin suffering.
We don't want to endure
pain that we got to take aspirins.
Mm.
Let alone some serious. We need the church to fast for 2 weeks for us because we are in our ICU. We don't want to do that kind of suffering, man. Come on.
But just like he told Peter that, you know, my grace is sufficient, and my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the attitude we have to have. When Paul asked him about taking that away from him, you know, that's the attitude that we have to have when we're going through our trials and through our tests.
Yeah, and not be late.
Yeah. Well, if we're late, we lose the car.
See? See, you just won't play. You won't play today.
Pastor Young, you know what I was thinking?
Yeah.
I think we should really sincerely revisit some of last week's conversation, because last week's conversation, we talked about how wonderful the female is.
Yeah.
And when we talked about a strong woman, we did not talk about muscular or those who talk back, or not even women who let men walk all over them.
Uh-huh.
You know, but to be a submissive woman or a virtuous woman does not mean that you have to be a doormat or a placemat for somebody to take advantage of.
It does not mean that.
But, you know,
right.
the scripture does say this, Pastor Young. It says a man that findeth a wife.
Yeah.
A man, not a boy.
Uh-huh.
Not a mama's boy.
Well.
Not an old boy or a grown boy. It said a man. A man that's willing to work. Take care, either he's self-employed that he can sustain her in the household and the children, or working a 9-to-5 and take a man that's willing to love, honor, and cherish this woman, a man that's willing to love his wife as Christ loves the church. That type of man.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Well.
A man that finds a wife finds a good thing.
A good thing.
Listen, and I know two good women. I know two really, really good women, Pastor Young. Pastor Weatherly's going to be at 240 Hutchinson Street tomorrow.
Yeah, you can find her.
Now, if you want to, if there's some good, hard-working men some God-fearing, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, Jesus-walking man out there.
Her tank is not on E. She's filled.
Turn off your radios, people.
She's going to be at 240 Hutchinson Street tomorrow. She's going to be up there in the front. She's like, what they call them, a red bone up after y'all?
Yes.
She a red bone. She's going to be up there in the front of the church.
Yes.
Now, how you going to know her if you never seen her? She's going to be up there clapping her hands, patting her feet, calling on the name of Jesus.
Yes. Find her.
No. Hold on. Pastor Gerald's going to be at 343 East North Street in the city of Buffalo. Sign in the front of the building going to say United House of God. She's going to be up there. Listen. How you going to be to identify her? She's going to be the lady in the church crying out the loudest.
Yep.
She's going to cry loud.
Yep, and spare not. Yes, Lord. You can find her as long as you got gas in your car. Just make sure you got gas in your car.
She's gonna have gas in the car, calling on the name of Jesus.
There you go.
She's gonna be up in the front of the church 9 times out of 10. She's gonna have her church hat on.
Yep. Oh, she's gonna have a Sunday go to meet hat. She wears Sunday go to meet hats.
Sunday go to meet uniform on.
She has beautiful hats.
Always.
She wears beautiful hats.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that's new to me.
Well, I was taught not to go into church without having my head covered.
Talk about it. Why, Pastor Gerald? Why?
We come from the old school.
Definitely.
So you have those Sunday go to meeting hats, the ones where you be sitting up front and nobody can see past you.
Let him know, Pastor Gerald, you sit in the front anyway.
Right, so that's right.
That's even worse.
Pastor Gerald is not a person who come into church and sit in the back.
You know,
he's going to run all the way up to the front.
I always wondered why women wear those big old hats, knowing doggone well they was going to be sitting on the second row and nobody else would be able to see past them. I just didn't understand that.
I hate sitting in back of somebody that's always standing, just always standing. To me, is sit down
on the front row.
Always standing.
I relate to what you're saying, Pastor Weatherly, because I'm a firm believer. If I'm visiting somebody else's church, I don't like to run to the pulpit for one thing. I'm not pulpit happy. I like to sit in the back because, one, I like somebody to preach to me. I want to be looking at the back of them. I want to see who's preaching, and I want to get the best of the message. But I also am intelligent enough to stand to the side if you're going to stand up.
I will stand to the side.
That way I'm not blocking somebody else's view. And I will stand to the side.
You know, I never did understand. You know, when I was younger, you know, it was the thing that for the chairs to be, right behind the individual. And for the life of me, I just I want to see the person preaching. I don't be looking at your behind. Okay. And
it would make sense if the chairs were staggered.
And so, when I started pastoring, I moved them doggone chairs. I was like, doggone it.
Okay.
And I moved. And then, there was people who were pulpit hungry. So, because I played for the service as well as preached, and I didn't get a chance to sit in the chair. So I took the chairs out.
Yeah.
I agree. Or the ones that stand over you and they flailing your head, getting ready to knock your wig off, and they're not conscious of anybody, and they just hollering and screaming and waving, and they even waving handkerchiefs over your head and everything like that. I can't understand that. I cannot understand it.
Well, I mean, it does make for good lively service now, I must admit.
Something I never understood. I never got the gist of, you go to church, and people get to shouting.
Yeah.
They get to praise the God. Then some of the ushers will come and automatically sit them down.
You don't do that.
This impression that if it's any place you should be able to praise God, as long as you're...
That's right. That's right. You're not supposed to quench the spirit.
Well, you know, wait a minute. All week long, they wanted to feel the presence of God, and as soon as they feel the presence of God, they carry them out.
Who does this
take place at? If there's any place you should be to praise God,
so you know not to go there. So you know not to go there.
You should be to call on God as loud as you can and praise God as long as you. Why you're at here? I see if you was at somebody else's house, then maybe you'd be causing a disturbance at somebody else's house. But at the house of God, be like, yo. As a child, I was often confused about that. It didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Listen, it's okay as long as you don't knock my wig off. You can praise the Lord all you want to. But don't you aim for my head with me afraid you're going to knock my hat off or my wig off.
Gwen.
I got problems with that.
Gwen.
I have been to clubs when I was a younger man. And now I'm not sure if any of you have, but you could go there. And even if it was a house party, you could go to the club and dance from the time they open until the time they close.
That's right.
But wait a minute. Here's the hot one. Here's the hot one.
It's a sermon time. I get that part. You got to preach. I get that part. But, yo, it should be a lot of time. Just praise them. Praise them. Just praise them until you're tired.
Yeah.
Don't praise until you knock my wig off. No.
Wait a minute now.
I ain't going for that. I'm not going for that.
Pastor Webber, you might have did something to somebody and they're trying to get you back.
It happens.
I went to this church and the lady got happy behind her and you know she said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." And next thing you know, her hands flailed. She hit this woman in the back of the head. Her wig went flying and landed on the piano. Baby, the church was over.
Lord Jesus, help us today.
Like I thought, it says, all you need is some popcorn something to the church.
Church was over, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, it was over. She could have been like, you know, past Mother Moore, that wig came off and she kept on praising him. She got the wig back later. She got the wig back later. It didn't even, you know, phase her one way or the other. She kept on doing what she was doing.
She wasn't worried about the wig. She wasn't worried about who was there watching. She had went
That's
to church
right.
to praise the Lord. Sometimes we go through, I know I have, I don't speak personally, I've been through things where I praised him at home, praised him on the way to church, and praised him once I got there.
That's
because
it.
Sometimes our lives, it could just be some things where you just want to celebrate it. You want to be thankful to God. Jesus says, if you love me, just do what I tell you to do. And you know, sometimes you want to celebrate the fact that he loves you as much as he loves you.
Yes, yes.
You're undeserving of his love. We're undeserving of tomorrow. Tomorrow we are truly 100% undeserving of Jesus rising from the dead and dying for our sins. We are so undeserving of such a feat. That alone is enough to make you want to praise. Especially if your past is what your past was, and you are so thankful, you are so grateful that with open arms he received you in spite of you. You might want to praise more than 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Knowing what he's done for your children, your husband, your wife, you know. My sister has a husband, I'm not going to mention her name. My sister has a husband who, when they first got married, never went to church. They broke up because he cut out on her. and she had family members encouraging her, you want to leave him, never go back, leave him, never go back. And we had a conversation. She asked me, what did I think? I said, sis, I said, you have a friend when you come here to Buffalo. I said, you said y'all just friends, but your husband don't know about him. She said, yeah. I said, go back home to your husband. I said, sometimes men are stupid. I said, sometimes we're stupid. I said, sometimes our stupidity causes us to do stupid things. I said, but just as Christ forgives us, we should forgive people sometimes. She goes back to her husband. They're together now. Her husband brought her a beautiful home. I mean, a real Orchard Park living, really, really nice. But what's better than that, he beats her to church now. Her husband is saved, filled with the Holy Spirit.
Look at God.
At church every Sunday, that he's not working, and he beats her to church.
Look
at
God.
My sister praised God, not for the house, not for the cars. Mm-hmm. She praised God that her husband is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit.
All right.
And sometimes you might want to, you know what I'm saying? And going through a relationship like that where you had a serious problem in your relationship and God saves the man and fills him with the Holy Spirit and you're happier now than you were before, that's a reason to praise God.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, you being them, praise them right on out your clothes, huh?
Yo, just like that.
That's a David thing.
Just like you, that's going to make you want to do, and that's, the, we focus sometime on the sin and not on the fact that he's raised from the dead.
Hey.
Her husband's cross is now found. God done raised her husband from being spiritually dead to being alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful testimony. Pray.
Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
And that's something I think that's a Holy Ghost party. It makes you just, because I'm sure we all have these stories.
Can't say nothing
we all have a testimony that just make us say, thank you, Jesus. And thank you for rising from the dead for us. But, you know.
All right, it's time for you to sign on.
Well, listen. Tomorrow's Resurrection Sunday. Go to church that believe in God the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and definitely in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Take your family to church with you, not just tomorrow, but every Sunday. Every Bible study, every Sunday school, as often as you can. Let your household be dedicated to serving God. Don't let Jesus dying be in vain when it comes to you. Don't let it be said too late.
And please, don't be late. Please don't be late to 240 Hutchinson, because, you know.
At 343 East North to get to Pastor Gerald at East North.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
Don't be late now.
Listen, don't go there. Run there. Take off speed. Catch the airplane. Let the airplane drop you off with your parachute at 240 Hutchinson Street.
And make sure you wash them feet before you take them shoes off.
Check your gas tank needle. That way you don't run out of gas on your way.
And if you do, at least run out of gas in front of the church house. How about that?
Yeah, Pastor Young.
Goodbye,
Pastor
people.
Who is Pastor Gwendolyn Wesley? Who is he? I heard about the lady and I want to see her.
Goodbye, people.
I'm trying to find her. I'm trying to find her.
Like the three wise men followed the star to get to Jesus, follow the star to get to 343 East North and 240 Hutchinson Street.
Farewell, people.
Pastor Young, say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Pastor Weatherly and Pastor Gerald.
Goodbye, people.
Celebrate, wherever you are. Celebrate Jesus, wherever you are.
Mount Calvary's having a convention, state convention, next week over at God's Tabernacle of Praise. Hope to see you there.
Go to Tuesday to Friday. Tomorrow morning is Utica and Humble for Bishop John Young Fellowship World Church Service. Be there on time.
On time now.
What time it starts, Pastor Young?
Start at 11 o'clock. Be on time now. Don't be late.
Be there at 11 o'clock. Be there on time.
Don't be late.
With your shouting shoes on your feet. God's praises in your mouth and an offering in your hand.
And a Sunday go to meeting hat on top of your head.
And Pastor Young, don't knock
your daddy's wig on.
Pastor Cheryl, Pastor Young, and Pastor Weatherly, you should be very, very proud of me because I did not mention a certain furry animal today. You should be proud of me.
Yeah, I am so proud of you. I really am.
You should be proud. You should be proud because I know y'all thought I was going to do it.
Good boy.
Take care. Peace and love. God bless you.